Hello, I'm Lisa Kafer, healthy lifestyle coach and cooking instructor at cleanfoodcleanyou.com. Welcome to the Fabulous Beyond 40 Summit, how to be healthy, vibrant, and energetic at any age. Today we have a very special guest with us. We have Dr. Karen Ryder. Karen is a wellness warrior, passionate foodie, environmental enthusiast, mama of two who has been working as a functional medicine nutritionist for over 12 years. Previously practicing in Sydney and Hong Kong, she moved to Singapore in 2012, where she established her current practice as a leading Singapore nutritionist and wellness speaker. Karen's own journey into nutrition started when she discovered how making small, healthy changes to her lifestyle made a huge difference to her overall health and well-being. Karen's forte is simple, practical, and ongoing solutions to improve health. She works with her patients in a down-to-earth but structured way, empowering them to manage their own health and balance their lifestyle. Along with individual consultations, Karen has created a wonderful range of health workshops, like her famous Heal Your Gut Fermentation Workshop, focusing on some of the most powerful and effective natural ways to heal your body. Karen, you have lots of credentials, and we can talk about some of those as we go, but welcome, welcome. Thank you so much for joining us today, all the way from Singapore.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me. It's very exciting.
Oh, you're welcome. So tell me a little bit about your journey to how you got to where you are now.
Well, I think like very many of my colleagues, it was because my own health suffered. So I actually studied to become a lawyer, and I also studied finance. But, you know, in my early 20s, I think when I was 18, even before I was 20, I developed Epstein-Barr virus. At the time, doctors didn't tell me it was Epstein-Barr virus. And basically, my doctors just said to me, you've got to go on 2 years of antibiotics to kind of prevent you from getting sick, from preventing me from getting sicker. And that kind of was the base of where my health started to deteriorate. And in the course of 10 years, I basically developed two autoimmune diseases, one of them being thyroiditis and Hashimoto's, and the other one being celiac disease. And, you know, to cut a long story short, I basically found myself in my early mid-20s, being very, 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 very sick and very unwell. And that's, I think, what kind of sparked my interest in nutrition, because I felt that even though I was doing everything the doctors wanted from me, I was, you know, taking all the medicines and doing everything that they expected me to do, my health was just deteriorating. And I thought, it can't be that such a young person can get so sick in such a short period of time. And that's when I started Googling. And, you know, this is like 15 years ago. And there weren't a lot of nutritionists around. There were not a lot of naturopaths around. It wasn't very common knowledge. Nobody spoke about leaky gut and all these things that we know today. And I basically, I started Googling, and I went to visit a naturopath. And she really changed my life. You know, we figured all these food intolerances, and in a very short period of time, she started to make me feel better. And then I realized, wow, there is a lot of power in what you eat. And that was my journey. And from then I just started to study nutrition and make it a career. I've learned basically on myself, but also my daughter, who also has celiac disease, just, you know, how important it is to embrace a holistic lifestyle. And I think my own experience and also being a parent of a child with an autoimmune disease has really made me very empathetic towards people who are going through a health crisis. And most of us do go through some sort of health crisis somewhere along the line, and we feel very frustrated by the medical system. So it's a passion and something that it's very close to my heart.
Wow, yeah. I know that there are so many autoimmune diseases these days, and the doctors, the medical community really don't know what to do about those. And I have seen some very amazing naturopaths, functional medicine doctors taking care of those kinds of things. So, yes, it's very exciting that this is really starting to come to light.
It's exciting to be empowered. I think that's what most of these holistic practitioners like me and you are working on, is to empower people, is to give them knowledge. And I think it's something that was missing from the picture, and it's exciting to be empowered. It's exciting to know what's wrong with you, and it's exciting to know that you have the tools to change it.
I agree. So many people just go to the doctor and do whatever they say. They don't ask questions. They don't, there's just so many other options these days. And I'm excited to be a part of that. So that's awesome. So tell us, what are some specific health needs that you've seen in your practice, especially with older women, since our summit is Fabulous Beyond 40? And what are some nutrition tips to help with some of those?
So typically in women over 40, we're starting to see a phase called perimenopause, where perimenopause is a very good example of perimenopause is reaching your puberty in reverse. So you're basically in reverse puberty, and that there can be lots of signs of symptoms of hormonal imbalances. For example, breast tenderness, or even fibroids in the breast, weight gain, especially around the abdomen, the hips and the thighs, changes in appetites, digestive issues, decrease in libido, irregular cycles, heavy cycles, painful cycles, the thyroid and the adrenal glands can start playing up, and you could start, suffering from adrenal fatigue, or you could have, a slow functioning thyroid, a hypothyroid. You could get fibroids in your ovaries. You could suffer from mood swings, otherwise known as PMS, mood disorders like depression, anxiety, irritability. I think also general feeling of fatigue. Many women suffer from insomnia or sleep disturbances. And then one of the most common ones as well is hair loss and thinning hair. So that's typically what I'll see with women in their 40s and, upwards. But it can even start as early as 35, because actually that's when we start seeing perimenopause. And in terms of diet, from a nutritional perspective, you want to really reach and understand what is the root cause of your hormonal imbalance. Is it the thyroid? Is the thyroid not working properly? Or could it be the adrenal glands? It's easier when you know the root cause, because you could really fix the root cause, and that could have a massive impact on the rest of the symptoms. But as a general kind of suggestion, in terms of nutrition, eating a whole food diet, a diet that's, very low in processed foods, what we call a low inflammatory diet. Think, a plant-based, a vegetable-based diet, organic if possible, mostly homemade, lots and lots of fiber. Fiber is very, very important for our digestive tract. So fiber is found in vegetables primarily. Something called night fasting. Have you heard of it, Lisa?
Night fasting?
Yeah.
I have not.
So night fasting is when you give your body around 12 hours with no food. So basically, if you have your dinner around 7 or 8 p.m., you basically don't eat anything until the next morning at 7 or 8 p.m. That's called night fasting. That's giving your body, a good 12 hours with not eating anything. And that actually allows your digestive system to rest. It allows your insulin levels and your glucose levels to kind of calm down. And it affects your sleep. So you should have a good dinner, but you shouldn't be, sitting in front of the TV snacking in the evening. And that's actually just a simple thing like night fasting can do wonders for your health.
I haven't heard it called that before, but that's exactly what we do in our 30-day detox program, that we recommend people to not eat after 7 and then not eat again until 7 or 8 in the morning. So, yeah.
Right. A lot of people have heard of intermittent fasting, which is, you know, fasting, you know, from dinner until the next day at lunchtime or even afternoon. The thing with intermittent fasting, it doesn't really work well for people with hormonal imbalances. You know, if you've got a hyperthyroid and you're doing intermittent fasting, it can actually make you feel worse. But nighttime fasting is a very safe way to give your body a rest from food. And you could do it no matter what you have. So this is a very safe way to kind of get your metabolism back on track. And not many people do it because it's, you know, it's so cultural for us to sit down, to have late dinners, to munch, you know, on something in front of the TV or wine or something like that. And so many people eat till pretty late before they go to bed.
That's true.
Sugar, which, you know, everybody knows that stuff is really bad for us, but it's especially bad for our hormones, especially bad for our skin. Caffeine is another one. Many people don't metabolize caffeine properly, and it can really tax your adrenal glands, which tax other hormones in your bodies. Focusing on things like healthy fats, things like avocados, you know, wild salmon, olives, good quality nuts and seeds, and then avoiding the very nasty omega-6 fats like, you know, vegetable oils, these processed oils that are usually in processed, you know, sunflower oil, safflower oil, corn oil, cottonseed oil, canola oil. You know, you want to really avoid that stuff. That stuff's not good for you, for your health, and not for your hormones. And then, you know, bringing your diet back to what our great-grandparents used to eat, which was more of a, you know, what we call a paleolithic diet. It's not the paleo diet, but it's a diet where things like bone broth was used in it. You know, they would kill an animal and eat it. They wouldn't eat a lot of it, and then they would cook the bones, and they would make a broth out of it. And bone broth can be a really healing food. They also fermented foods. You know, once upon a time, people didn't have fridges, so they would pick fruits and vegetables in the summer, and they would pickle them or ferment them so that they could eat them in the winter. And that created foods that were really rich in probiotics, something that we completely stopped doing once we got fridges or refrigerators. So, you know, bringing back fermented foods into the diet, things like sauerkraut, things like kefirs, kombucha, all these types of foods that are really, really rich in probiotics. Those are the types of things that we want to bring back into the diet. In terms of supplementation, things like omega-3s, good quality omega-3s, magnesium. Many, many, many people are really deficient in magnesium. Kind of traces back to the fact that the soil is very deficient in magnesium. So the vegetables that are supposedly supposed to be high in magnesium are not. And then, you know, even addressing nutritional deficiencies, going to the doctor and getting a blood test and checking, you know, vitamin D levels, iron levels, magnesium levels, zinc levels, and seeing, you know, do I have a deficiency? And then also, focusing on the fact that everybody should be going to the toilet and eliminating daily. I think that's one of the key things that people have to put a focus on. A lot of people are constipated chronically. And they don't like to talk about their poop, but it's quite a thing. So really focusing on that. And if you're not going daily, to figure out natural ways to bulk up your stool and to go daily. It's so important to go daily.
I know most plant-based diet people that I know, including myself, we go more than once a day. I know that's unusual for a lot of people. So
yeah. And you know, there's lots of natural ways to go daily. In general, if you're drinking enough water and you're moving and you're eating lots of vegetables, you should be going daily. But if you're not,
right,
you can kind of push your system a little bit. You know, just things like flax seeds, licorice, dried fruits like prunes can actually help you out. So there's like little natural things that you could add in. And then if that doesn't work, you can bring in the bigger guns like magnesium citrate or vitamin C, which actually helps loosen up the bowels a little bit.
Right. All right. So people say that it's harder to lose weight the older you get. Have you heard that?
Yes.
What tips do you have for women who want to lose weight after 40? Is it that difficult, really? And how important is a healthy gut in that aspect?
I think it is very healthy. I think it is harder to lose weight when you're starting your perimenopause years, primarily because your hormones are not working or are not, supporting you the way that they used to be in such a simple manner. Things start to go a little haywire with your progesterone and your estrogen. Many women, when they're perimenopausing, they get a drop in progesterone and they get a rise in estrogen. It's not that estrogen itself rises. I think the ratio between the progesterone and the estrogen just drops. So by default, you're becoming estrogen dominant. And in estrogen dominance, you're going to pack the fat around the belly, around the hips, around the waist. And it's going to be harder to lose the weight. Coupled with that is many women in their 40s have been overworked and, exhausted from taking care of everything and everyone. Don't sleep properly. Their adrenal glands, the majority of them, their adrenal glands have been suffering quite significantly. So they're producing a lot more cortisol, and that steals even more from progesterone. And that makes them even more estrogen dominant. And then coupled with that is that many women over 40, their thyroid starts to slow down. And the thyroid is the gland that's in charge of your metabolism. So everything's kind of working against us in our 40s. Starting menopause, things are just, not working for us. We have to make a bigger and better effort to take care of our body. So it's doable, but what worked for you when you were 20 is just, cleaning up your diet is not enough here. Now you really need to look at what you're eating. You really need to carve out time to exercise properly. And I'm going to introduce this phrase, which I'm sure you've heard of, which is called train, not drain. So training, but not killing yourself training, because that in itself is not helpful. So training properly, resting properly, taking time out for ourselves properly. I've seen many women in my clinic who eat impeccably and exercise like crazy, and they don't lose anything. And I think many of the times is we trace it back to stress. These women are highly, highly stressed, and they don't carve out the time to de-stress. And, when I say de-stress, it doesn't necessarily mean you have to meditate for an hour every day. It could be things like going for a walk, in nature, speaking to someone that you love, hugging. Us women, when we hug people, whether it's our partner, our kids, a friend, we produce hormones that relax us. So I think we've got to be a little bit more in tune, and I think we've got to put a bigger effort into losing weight once we're in our 40s, because our hormones are starting to kind of, not work as smoothly as they did. So, looking into stress reduction, whether it's a massage or acupuncture or practicing something like deep breathing or praying, focusing on sleep. Many, many women have insomnia. There's a lot of reasons for it. It could be hormonal, but a lot of people, it's just the way their lifestyle is. People are on their computers till really late, or their phones or the TV, and they don't go out enough during the day, so their circadian rhythm starts getting all messed up. And they don't take the time to de-stress before they go to bed. The body cannot just shut off and go to sleep. You've got to kind of like slowly de-stress the body if you want to sleep well. Exercising, but not too much. So, when you were 20 and you could do all these like crazy exercises and run marathons, I'm not saying that women over 40 can't run marathons. I'm saying that it's important to exercise, not to drain your body, so that you finish your exercise, you feel empowered, you feel energetic, not like, oh, I need to go for a nap.
Yes, very good.
Looking also into toxins, I think toxins start to accumulate in our body when we're really young, but they start to wreak havoc in your body as you grow. So toxins are very easy to come across. there's a few toxins that are called endotoxins. These are toxins that start playing up with your adrenal glands. All your hormones. They cause you to become more estrogenic because they mimic estrogen in the body. And these can be found in, you know, harmful cleaning products, personal care products, plastic, you know, BPA. You know, looking into what am I putting on my body, you know, and what kind of water am I drinking? Am I using a plastic bottle to drink my water in? Is most of my utensils plastic? That's really important stuff that people need to look into, and helping your body detox naturally. So, you know, sweating is a fantastic way to detox yourself. And then eating foods like coriander or cilantro, as you guys call it in the U.S., because that's a really good binder. Supporting the liver and looking into things like lymphatic drainage massages. Those are really good. And if you can't afford that, you can just do dry brushing of the skin. You should Google it. It's very easy to do. And then look into medications, you know. So many times I see people come in here and they've got so many issues, and then we look into medications, and more often than not, people are taking a few types of medications, sleeping medication, anti-anxiety medication, anti-depression medication. And I'm not saying people need to get off these medications. I want to address a few other causes that I think people sometimes oversee when they're trying to lose weight and they can't, when they're, you know, eating healthy and exercising. One of them is medications. Certain medications can really affect hormonal balance, corticosteroids, different stimulants, dopamine antagonists, you know, antidepressants, anti-anxiety, sleeping medication, birth control pills. So it's a really good idea to, you know, look into what you're taking in terms of medication, read the side effects of it. Have a chat to your doctor. Do you really need to take a sleeping pill? Can you maybe try to look for some natural ways to help yourself sleep? Is the antidepressant, was it just given to you by the doctor? Was there really ground for it? We know there's a huge link between gut health and depression. Could it be that your gut is just unhealthy? You know, I'm not suggesting anybody just get off their medication. I am suggesting people look into things and work with educated, integrated, you know, professionals to try and wean themselves off these medications so that they do eventually feel better. And if you are taking a medication, for example, an antidepressant, be aware of the side effects, like chronic constipation. And what can you do to help yourself so that you're not chronically constipated? I think...
Yes, very good. Ask questions.
Lots of questions. You know, you have to be your own doctor because no one's going to be that for you.
That's right. That's right.
Addressing emotional issues. You know, we women, we're very emotional, right? From the moment we're born, we're emotional. Fear. Fear is something that really affects cortisol levels, and it could lead to adrenal fatigue. Feelings like frustration or anger, these can really cause disease in your liver. And that could, you know, create a massive estrogen imbalance. So looking into your emotional, spiritual place, you know, sometimes we fix our physical body, but our emotional, spiritual body is broken. And you're still not going to be healthy if your emotional, spiritual side is not going to be healthy. So you have to work on these things. And then I think the last one, which is what we talked a little bit at the beginning, was the gut, you know, the gut health. We know today that there are certain probiotics that help our body metabolize estrogen. Gut health is, you know, Hippocrates said, health starts in the gut. And he was right because, you know, there's no disease that we can't link it back to the gut, you know, from cancer to diabetes to high cholesterol to autoimmune diseases to hormonal imbalances now. We know that a healthy gut is the key to being healthy. So looking into a healthy gut, thankfully in today's day and age, there's loads of tests that you can do. And you guys are in, you know, the U.S., and it's so readily available for you. You could all order these online tests, and you can look to see if you've got a leaky gut and if you've got food intolerances, and just so many amazing protocols out there for healing the gut. I follow the Institute of Functional Medicine protocol, which is called the 4R program, which means remove anything that's causing an unhealthy gut, whether it's food sensitivities or infections like candida or parasites or things like, you know, Helicobacter pylori. And then the second R is called repairing. It's repairing the leaky gut. And, you know, you could use things like bone broth. If you're a vegetarian and you don't want to use bone broth, you could use things like L-glutamine and, you know, even things like aloe vera, so natural plant-based supplements. And then the third one is called rebalance, which is where we basically put back in the good, healthy probiotics through fermented foods or through probiotic supplementation. And then the fourth one is called reducing stress, because there's such a big link between stress and an unhealthy gut, which, you know, is linked to all the other diseases as well, right? We can trace back stress to heart disease, to hormonal imbalances, to so many things. And,
yes.
And you know, working on your gut, I think that's a key thing for many, many people. And usually when you clean up your acts in terms of the gut, things start falling in place. You know, your organs start working better. They start metabolizing better. You start eliminating better. Everything kind of falls into place. And you start losing weight, or at least, you know, you stop gaining weight, which is also a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I teach my clients that just losing weight, it's in itself isn't a way to get healthy. You know, that you have to get healthy, and then in that process, you tend to lose the weight, so or find your healthy weight. So, yeah, that's great. So one question I had come up in my mind that you might be able to answer: progesterone, as you were mentioning, in older women tends to drop, and that makes our estrogen imbalance. Is there a healthy alternative to some of the synthetic hormones that doctors prescribe for that issue?
Yeah, well, from my knowledge, progesterone is not as dangerous as estrogen, in terms of everybody's afraid of synthetic estrogen because it's linked to cancer. So in general, nobody wants to be estrogenic because that's a perfect breeding ground for cancer. But with progesterone, that risk is not there. So taking a progesterone in a hormone supplement, like a bioidentical progesterone, which is always better than synthetic, it doesn't have that cancer risk that estrogen has, you know?
Oh,
so it's a safer hormone to take. Some people react to it amazingly. You take it typically in the second part of your cycle, so after you ovulate. And some people say it saves their life. It just takes away all those mood swings. It takes away, you know, all that irritability and painful breasts and the, you know, the heavy cycle. It just fixes things up for them. But other people feel that progesterone is maybe too strong for their system, and sometimes they have really bad reactions to progesterone. It has a lot to do with how your body metabolizes progesterone. Like, there's lots of genetic testing today that people can do. I'm sure you've heard 23andMe. For example, I did 23andMe, and I checked my gene of processing progesterone, and it's defaulted. So basically, for me, progesterone is a really bad solution because I would probably be having horrible side effects from it. But maybe someone that doesn't have a defect on their gene or a mutation on their SNP, they could take progesterone and feel great from it. So that's the hormone side, and you want to try and get a bioidentical progesterone, not a synthetic one. If you want to go the natural route, there's lots of things that you can do. One of them is actually, you know, losing weight, because the more weight you lose, the less estrogenic you're going to be. But there's natural herbs that you can take. There's quite a few natural herbs. Vitamin C is a very good supplement that you could take, in omega-3s and probiotics. There's also a herb called Vitex, which is also known as chaste tree, which kind of naturally picks up your progesterone. Again, it's not for everybody, but naturopaths love it and they give it out a lot. So that's something that you could start taking to kind of pick up your progesterone. In terms of essential oils, thyme is an essential oil that actually helps you balance out your progesterone. And they say to put it on your stomach. I've tried. It's quite heaty, but it works. And there's a couple of herbal teas that you can buy. I'm buying one from iHerb, from the Yogi brand. That's called Women's Cycle, which actually it's got this herb in it that actually is known to balance out progesterone, which is called Dong Quai.
I've heard of that.
Yeah, it's quite a strong one. They've got other herbs in there, so it's kind of a hormone balancing tea. So for a tea to be therapeutic, you need to be having 3 cups a day. So, you know, if you brew up, you know, 2 tea bags in a big pot and you drink that throughout the day, that's the medicinal level of herbal supplementation.
Okay. Good.
Yeah.
I had one other question. Oh, when a woman reaches menopause and is well into those years of menopause, what happens to the hormones then, typically?
Then you're looking at very low estrogen and low progesterone. So basically all those womanly hormones, the estrogen that actually, you know, made us feel very womanly and very, you know, clucky and wanting to have kids and whatnot, that kind of goes down. And then we experience, you know, dryness, we experience, you know, just having much lower estrogen levels. I'll give you an explanation of what my colleague told me. She's very funny. She said, when we're young as women, we have very high estrogen levels. So when we're like in our 20s and 30s, we really want to please people. We're very sensitive. You know, we cry from things. We want to have kids and, you know, we take care of everybody. And men are exactly the opposite. They've got high testosterone and low estrogen levels when they're young. So they're like career focused and they're very like strong and, you know, they're not dependent on anything and they're, you know, they're going to go and do their career. And as we age, we start swapping. So men's testosterone starts going down and you can see, you know, in your mind, like the picture of this man who's, you know, getting bold and he's developing, you know, this tummy and some man boobs. And, you know, they become low on testosterone but higher on estrogen. And women, as we age and we go through menopause, we really have a big significant drop in estrogen. And you see that if you look at very successful women in the world, they're mostly women that have menopause. And this swap that happens between men and women creates us women, you know, when we menopause, we become very strong. We become much less dependent. You see women doing second careers. You see women divorcing. You see women, you know, becoming CEOs of companies. And they become non-apologetic, stronger, you know, determined. All these qualities that men have at an early age and we have less of. And men become more dependent. You know, they can't do as much as they could do. And we swap positions, which is quite interesting.
That's,
I think,
funny.
Nature intended this.
I never thought of that.
it was supposed to happen, you know. So it's a natural thing. But in general, estrogen really drops significantly in women, you know, after menopause. And that's why it's important for women after menopause. It's important for everybody, but specifically after menopause, where cancer is a much bigger risk for them, to really make sure that they're not overweight. Because being overweight is a perfect great breeding ground for cancer. I'm not saying that being thin is going to completely protect you, but we know that there is a big link between being overweight and, you know, having a bigger chance of getting cancer because of the estrogenic properties of being overweight.
Okay. Very good. I could go on and on with questions, but I think we're probably out of time now. This has been so informative, Karen. I really, really appreciate your time today. And love this summit. This is amazing information. So thank you so much. You are a wealth of knowledge. And like I said, there were probably 16 questions I didn't get to. But thank you so, so much for joining us today. Tell us a little bit. You have a free gift for our listeners. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so if you go to my website, I've got a free e-cookbook that you can download from my website with just healthy recipes. It's just wholesome, whole food recipes. That's on my website. I have quite a lot of recipes as well in my recipes tag or folder in the website. So people can go there. If anybody happens to swing by Singapore, there's quite a lot of workshops and support groups and stuff like that we hold down here in Singapore. So you're welcome to join. And in general, I'd like to post lots of information, recipes, ideas on my Facebook page. So if you're looking for some inspiration and recipes and like to ask questions about nutrition, my Facebook page is the perfect place to go. I usually answer back quite quickly. So if you've got any questions, I'm happy to be there.
Wonderful. And what is your Facebook page?
So it's my business is called Nutritious and Delicious. And I'm sure, Lisa, you're going to post a link to it. But if you Google Nutritious and Delicious, or you Google my name, Corinne G. Ryder, you will probably find it. And Lisa, you can post a link to it.
Okay, thank you so much. And I've been saying your name wrong. It's Corinne and not Karen.
Okay,
everybody. I apologize. All right. Very good. Thank you so much again for joining us and all of that good information about your free gift and your Facebook page and your website will be in the link to this interview. So thank you so much again. Thank you all for tuning in today to the Fabulous Beyond 40 Summit. I'm Lisa Kafer. Be sure to tune in again next time.